This morning, I'm inviting your attention to a question which our Lord raised on the occasion when he came to the disciples in their great distress. He asked this pointed question, "Have ye not yet faith?" The implication of that question is what I want to plant in your hearts this morning. When one goes into the marketplace of this earth to buy the things he needs and wants, he must have money. If he fails to take with him the money with which to make the purchases, it makes no difference how full the shares may be of the wares that he wants. He's unable to possess them. Likewise, we go into the marketplaces of God's grace and love. We find there his shares filled with all the spiritual wares that a human heart can possibly want. There is no human spiritual need that God is not able to provide for. For in his marketplaces are all the spiritual wares that a human heart can want. But if one goes into these marketplaces where men shop literally without money and without price, and does not have the one thing, the medium of exchange, if you please, with which to obtain from God the things that he wants, he has absolutely no way of obtaining them. That one requirement of God is faith. But do not understand me to say that faith is a medium of exchange in the spiritual universe of God. It is not. Certainly, it is unlike money. If a man takes $100 in his pocket and goes shopping, he can keep on buying just so long as his money lasts. He knows that with every purchase, the amount of his money will decrease. Sooner or later, he will become penniless by his buying. But this is never true with relationship to one's faith. A man does not deplete his faith. He does not decrease his faith by using it or by spending it. Just the opposite is the truth. When one spends faith and uses it, it increases, and he becomes better prepared to continue obtaining the blessings of God in the marketplaces of his grace and his love. I know of no darker, more damaging, and more blighting delusion which can settle down upon the souls of men like a dark cloud than the delusion of the man who feels that he has no responsibility for his faith. He recognizes and accepts the fact that God is living, that Christ has been raised from the dead, that the Holy Spirit is available to help men who trust him, that the Word of God is indeed a light unto man's pathway. But somehow he rationalizes himself into believing, since he himself does not have faith, that he has no responsibility in the matter of securing the faith that he needs in order to obtain the blessings from a gracious God. He seems to feel as if he has no more responsibility for his faith than a desert has for its aridness. Since he doesn't have faith, he doesn't know why. He may believe that even God is at fault. Since God sends a rain, if the rain does not fall upon a certain place, certainly it's not the fault of the arid place. He may feel that his friends and loved ones have not discharged their duties and responsibility to him. So he goes through life either pitying himself because he is a spiritual pauper, or else he may be deceiving himself into believing that there is a skepticism in which he can take refuge in his failure to obtain the spiritual realities which God has provided abundantly for all men of great faith. This morning I want to impress upon you the most solemn truth that I think our world needs. We are in the deplorable condition that threatens our existence today because we do not have faith. And few men have any sense of responsibility for their faith. I think I've never heard of a human being in my life who claimed to be growing a great faith, or who gave evidence of trying to develop his faith that he might achieve the things in life that are truly worthwhile. But I come to say this with all the positiveness of my heart. God gives a man brains, but God does not educate that brain. The man himself has a responsibility, and his friends, his parents, and his fellow citizens have some responsibility in helping him to develop that brain, in training it, in making it a depository of useful truths and facts. But ultimately and finally, the man himself is directly responsible for the development of his brain. One cannot neglect his responsibility for his body without paying a tremendous price. It is a man's responsibility to feed his own body, to clothe it, to nurture it, to protect it, to exercise it, and to make it grow. We have no difficulty in accepting these responsibilities. But when it comes to that other responsibility, that of developing and growing a great conquering faith that will overcome the world, most men take a lackadaisical attitude toward it. They seem to repudiate every responsibility for it. If faith comes, well and good. But if it does not come, then there isn't anything that they can do about it. And they go along the winding, rocky, treacherous road of life, just utterly paupers so far as spiritual reality is concerned. They live their lives upon the level of the brute beast, and they have no consciousness of the indwelling presence of the living God. Some time ago, I was reading my New Testament, reading it rather diligently and studiously to see just what it has to say about this great theme of faith. Suddenly, it dawned upon me that every reference in the New Testament to faith is either a direct command or an implied command that men should believe, that they should have faith. Unquestionably, this New Testament, in its simple teachings, places upon us a direct responsibility for our faith. Let us look at just a few of the passages. Have faith in God, says the Scriptures. That is a command, just as much so as honor thy father and thy mother. And if God gives a definite command like that, certainly he knows that man is capable of obeying. Surely we would have no faith in a God who would make demands and give commands when he knew that man himself was incapable of obeying or carrying out his mandates. If a man have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, certainly that is a condition. But it is a condition that implies that it is man's responsibility to have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And if he doesn't have it, he cannot blame any other one because of his inability and his failure to have this conquering faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is likewise a command. So many seem to quote that verse of Scripture feeling that it's a splendid thing for people to believe in Christ. But in their hearts, they wonder if a man can believe under all conditions and circumstances. But I say to you this morning that no living mortal who knows the facts and who will yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who is incapable of believing on the Son of God. And when a man fails to believe, fails to accept him for what he is, that man is guilty of gross disobedience. On one occasion, our Savior came down from a mountaintop where he had had a wonderful experience with the trusting three. When even Elijah appeared, and when the heavenly hosts were hovering there, when they left that wonderful experience, they came down into a valley. There was a man whose afflicted son had been brought to the other nine disciples who were unable to heal him of his malady. When Jesus saw the situation, he looked upon these nine men and he rebuked them severely, saying, O faithless generation. He did not mean that they were undutiful or untrustworthy, but he meant that they had no faith. And he was condemning them severely because of their failure to have faith. When he spoke to his disciples about living by faith, reminding them of how God feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies, and then challenged them not to be anxious about what they should eat or wear or drink, he looked into their eyes and rebukingly said, O ye of little faith. It was such a disappointment, such a grief to him, that these men had failed to develop their faith to the extent that they could actually live by it and through it procure for themselves the actual necessities of life. My friends, nothing would be greater for you in your spiritual journey and spiritual conquest than for you to discover that all the blessings of divine grace and love are served to human beings upon the platter of faith, and that it is your responsibility to grow that faith, to create that faith, to develop it. It is a literal truth, according to the teachings of God's word, that things shall come to us according to our faith, that victories shall come to us according to our faith. Be it unto you according to your faith is a statement of a spiritual law which is as trustworthy and as inescapable as the law of gravity.